We live in a world of celebrities, but where are the heroes? We need some great men. We need to become great men. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues that men often think about, but seldom talk about. Temperance, getting in shape. This week's topic on Crossing the Goal. We are ready to kick off our show on temperance, getting in shape. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, an author and speaker, directs international mission teams all over the world. Peter's been married 22 years, the father of four. Curtis Martin, President and founder of Focus, that's the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. He's author of Boys to Men. He's been married 18 years and has eight children. And of course, our coach, Danny Abramowitz, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver, NFL coach. Danny's a well-known speaker, an author of great men's books, a father of three, a husband of 42 years, grandfather of four. Gentlemen, we're talking about getting in shape. I think, Danny, you should kick this one off for us.
Yeah, I think about getting in shape, guys. I think one of the big things is we don't realize the amount of time that we've spent with the junk. We're talking about we need to replace this junk that we've been dealing with in our lives. And how do you do that? I think you replace it with things, good things, things like exercise, things like prayer, a daily prayer life. Another thing we don't realize, when we were involved, like take for instance myself, I was involved with alcohol and stuff. The amount of time that I spent away from the house and lack of communication with my family, with my wife, with friends, I had that time to get back. When I got back straight, I was able to fill that void in there with some of these relationships.
I think the key to getting in shape, Danny, is exactly that. We need to recognize, first of all, who we are, gentlemen. We were made for greatness. We were made to conquer this world and gain heaven. Now, that's not possible on our own power. But with God in our lives, He then wants us to build the skills, as any athlete would, by training and dedication. And as we strengthen ourselves and our ability to serve and respond, we become the man we need to be, and men that really can have an impact and triumph over this world and turn it back into the world it needs to be, because it's not the way it should be today.
Yeah, and you know, Jesus died on the cross, rose again so that He could help us be free, to change, right? Christianity means change. Change is a part of our life, moving from point A to point B. If in our lives we're not changing, if we're stuck in the same grooves, the same habit patterns of sin year after year after year after year without any kind of freedom, something's wrong. But you know what? The Lord has more for us than we even know. We haven't tapped into it yet. If that's where we are, if we're stuck in the rut, we haven't discovered all that the Lord wants to give to us, because He wants to produce change, and He can do it in us.
And what do? How do we replace a bad habit? We replace it with a good habit. Do good things in our life. And it's, you know, change always is difficult. You know, all of us, really fight change. But once we go through it, the perseverance we talked about, to persevere, then it becomes easier and easier. And then we start feeling good about ourselves. You know, I didn't feel too good about myself when I first started coming out of the program. But once I stayed in it, I start feeling pretty good about myself.
And what's important is you're not just saying you just did it on your own strength.
No, no.
We're not white knuckling it. I'm going to get through this.
Right.
I'm going to change myself. I'm going to change myself. Or, you know, we're not like Avis proposing, just try harder. You know,
right.
We try harder at Avis. But what we're talking about is entering a relationship with God, with the Lord, that's real, that releases in us a new power and a new capacity to live differently. And it's a matter, growing in the virtue is a matter of cooperating with something He's doing in us and wants to do in us to bring us to the place where he meant us to be, really, to bring us to life.
It's not only the issue you mentioned of the difficulty, but it's what you're highlighting here as well, Peter. We need to recognize that not only is the sense that, oh, virtue is difficult, but also I think a lot of us, let's be honest, we think it's going to be boring.
Oh, yeah. Right,
and
right.
This is not the case. Our vision of who Christ is and what a manly saint is needs to be transformed and brought back into touch with reality. Christ is a vibrant, godly man, a God-man, but a godly man, a strong leader, who at the voice of His command knocks soldiers over in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a man who could be played middle linebacker without a helmet.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
This is
the saints, of course.
And the saints triumphed over the world. We need to be guys like that.
The image that's been sticking in my mind this whole past year since Lent, was Jesus hanging on the cross, just meditating on the cross a lot, and it dawned on me, you know, he's talking to us. He's communicating to us from the cross, and he's saying, trust me, this is the way. I'm right. telling you exactly
not only is this the
way
to you life. Mean to tell me when we turn our lives like this and go to him that he's not going to award us yeah. with the right things in life?
Right.
Come on.
Coach Curtis and Peter are going to have that game plan for us on staying in shape, getting in shape. It's coming up next here on Crossing the Gold right after this timeout.
Welcome back. We're talking about temperance and getting in shape. Before we talk about getting in shape, remind us, what is temperance, Curtis?
I like to use the term self-control because temperance, as we've spoken of before, is a loaded term. A lot of times has negative connotations. Yeah. It's a good word, and we want to relearn what it is. But temperance and self-control are essentially interchangeable. And what it is it's the skill or the virtue that allows us to say, that's enough to any of our desires that get in the way of our pursuit of Christ and our road to heaven. That ability to navigate, this is enough of the created goods without going too far. Sometimes that's a no because there's just a clear line.
Right.
But temperance is that power and that skill of navigation. It's what gives us, if our life were a ship, it would be the rudder.
On our last show on temperance, we talked about getting rid of the junk. How do you get rid of the junk? Now we're talking about what do we replace it with and how do we move on in the Lord?
Absolutely. I mean, any time we talk about rooting out things, we need to replant. Anybody who's had a garden or a lawn knows that if you don't replant, the weeds are coming right back.
Yeah.
And so we have to recognize, what are we going to fill our life with? How do we understand what it means to now grow strong in Christ? We've been battered down and weak and knocked down by sin. And then there's a point in time where you begin to actually experience some victory in the Christian life. And now the time is get strong. The world has been waiting for us to wake up and come alive. That's the key part that we're going to be talking about today.
And it's important to remember, I think, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that it's not something we do on our own. This is kind of a delicate balance. I think sometimes people, when we talk about virtues, you get the false impression like, okay, you're on your own. And you're working this out yourself, and you're just becoming, you know, like a disciplined athlete. You're working. Now, there's a dimension in that, but you never do it on your own, do you?
Absolutely not. In fact, we need to recognize that's the heart of the Christian life. In a certain sense, we're like a sailboat. You know, sailboats just don't go anywhere unless there's some wind. And God, the Holy Spirit, is pushing us along. And we can harness that energy if we live a life of virtue. But it's always God whose energy it is that's coming into our lives. And we have to recognize that we were created for victory. A lot of times we as Catholics, we think that we're going to get beaten down and we cling to the promise that Jesus gave to Peter. Well, at least in the final analysis, we're not going to be completely destroyed. The gates of hell will not prevail against us.
And somehow you might end up stumbling in, you know, in the end at best, you know, instead of
living
in the victory.
And we kind of cower waiting for the storm to blow over. But that's not what Christ promised Peter. The reading from Matthew 16 is actually a bad translation. It doesn't say the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's not a great promise. Peter, when's the last time a gate attacked you and you didn't prevail?
Yeah, right.
Gates are not offensive weapons. They're a defensive weapon. The promise is, rightly translated, the gates of hell will not withstand you, which means that if we go on the offensive, the power of hell, the power of darkness can't stand up against us. But we can't claim that promise if we're cowering in fear. We need to get up and take the field.
Great point, Curtis. Be on the offensive. I mean, I think sometimes we think of faith and growing in faith as a passive thing. That somehow I sit and God's got to produce it and I don't know why it's not happening in me. But actually there's a whole approach, there's a whole understanding of the kingdom of God is that you take it by storm. Is that you hear the call, you run after the king and you give it everything you got.
And as I hear you speak, I have to say, that's a spirituality that I would be inspired by. If spirituality is a passivity, just sitting around saying, well, I hope that the Lord blesses me. I'll just sit here and wait.
Yeah.
Well, there's an important part of prayer. I don't want to mock that in any way.
Yeah.
But there's another component which, as men, we stand up and say, all right, Lord, I want to be a man of action. I want you to bless me so that I can be a man of strength. Not the wrong kind of strength, but a power to accomplish good and overcome evil in the world.
It's not being macho. It's not self-will. I mean, if you read the apostles, Peter, you know, be sober, be alert, you know, gird up your loins and get into the battle. I mean, that was their exhortation all through their letters. That's exactly what they did. They stormed the courts. They stormed heaven.
Absolutely. You see the way we live as Catholics. I'm sometimes frustrated because we recognize as Catholics with the seven sacraments of the church, we receive all the grace, the fullness of grace, everything God wanted to give men and women to reach to heaven. We also, as Catholics, have the fullness of truth, everything that Jesus taught, the fullness of truth available to us. And yet sometimes we Catholics don't live a very different life than the rest of the world. Yeah. And the answer is that there's a third key, and St. Peter, the first pope, gives it to us in 2 Peter when he says, in addition to the grace and the truth, supplement that with virtue, and then you will become fruitful and effective in your work. I want to be fruitful and effective. I want to leave a mark.
Yeah, absolutely. The cooperation again in taking on a life of virtue is realizing that the Lord's part, what the Lord is doing is He's giving me, He's acting in my life and acting in such a way that He's transforming my heart. Because at the center of it all, the heart of it all, the reason we're stuck in vice and habit patterns of sin and we can't get out is we've got a problem right at the core.
Well, that's
right in the center of our heart.
And it's a deep problem. It's a very deep problem. It's almost like a guy walks in the doctor and says, Doc, I've got this headache. I've taken some aspirin. It's not going away. Could I get some extra strength Tylenol from you? And he examines you and says, we need to do surgery this afternoon. And you go, I think I'm more sick than I realized.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize as men, we're more sick than we realize. If you look at Jesus Christ on the cross, that's God's recipe to heal you. You must be desperately wounded and in need of great grace.
Yeah, that hits the nail right on the head. I mean, Jesus said, I mean, all through the prophets, they said the coming of the Messiah, what he was going to do is he's going to give us a new heart, because it's precisely what we need, and that's exactly what the Lord has done. And that's the source of our hope for ever having our lives change, because he gives us a new power to change. Hey, great job, Curtis. You nailed it. Brian.
Thanks, Peter. Curtis, as we move down to the red zone, Coach, you ready to put us through that spiritual workout?
I don't know about you guys, but I'm fired up. Let's go.
We're all moving down to the pit to get in shape for the red zone next on Crossing the Gulf. We're getting in shape here in the red zone, this time on Crossing the Goal, and we have an expert here. Our coach, Danny Abramowitz, wrote this book, The Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, as in New Orleans Saints, but I guess you're a bit of a saint anyway, aren't you, Danny?
Yeah, I'm really a saint. The devil,
ways, yeah. Maybe, huh?
What's the spiritual workout about?
The spiritual workout, I think the first thing you got to do when we talked about all these things, how are we going to change? What are we going to do to get in shape? I think the first thing is, get your personal trainer. All of us use a personal trainer in our life in a physical workout. We got a personal trainer in our spiritual life. That's the Holy Spirit.
Danny, how does somebody actually have a relationship with the Holy Spirit such that you could relate to the Holy Spirit as a trainer? I mean, right. That close to you, that nearby. No, how can the Holy Spirit be your trainer?
Most Catholics think the Holy Spirit's a bird flying around.
Right, right. Or a ghost. You know, yeah, or ghost. A bird or a ghost. Right. One or the other, yeah.
You know, Peter, you have to invite him in. It has our heart has a funny door to it. It has a doorknob just on the inside. We have to open that up and invite him in. Come on in. What's he going to say? No. It's not like he's not already in us. Yeah. We just don't acknowledge him and ask for his help and invite him into our lives.
You know, Curtis, it makes me think about what we were talking about earlier there about how, you know, the Lord wants to give us a new heart, that the real problem at the core of us is that we have a sick heart, a wounded heart, a lonely heart, a broken heart, and that he comes to replace it. And in Paul, in Romans 8, he says that, you know, 1 Romans 5, that the Spirit of God is poured into our hearts. And he said, if we lean in and cooperate with the presence of the Holy Spirit and learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit, that eventually what will happen is the Spirit begins to teach us a fundamental truth that changes everything. And that is, he begins to literally preach to us, Paul says, that we're children of God. He convinces us that we're children of God and breaks all the alienation, all the isolation, which is at the root of why we run after pornography, we run after gambling, yeah, and all the addictions, because there's a hole in our heart.
Void.
And that's the thing that heals the heart, right?
The wonderful message of the gospel is that in a certain sense, Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, but we are all prodigal sons.
Yeah.
And to recognize not only that we have a Father who will forgive us, but who has never stopped loving us and desires us back more than we want Him. That's such a key truth for us to know, because we're wounded. We're walking wounded. And for some reason, and the devil lies to us, is the huge part of that reason, when we sin, we think we've out-sinned God's love for us. And that's the witness of the Holy Spirit back, that you have a spirit within you crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy, if you will, the way that my young children run to me in complete trust. They're not doubting my love in the least.
Right. And St. Augustine tells us, our hearts will never rest until it rests with Thee.
And nothing melts a guy, touches a guy like that. I've seen so many big, tough football player, truck driving guys, 300 pounders who you couldn't get to show any emotion. And then when they get touched by the love of the Father and they know they're loved and that the Father is pleased with them and the Father wants to free them, they just weep.
And then He'll start using us then, and then He'll start working in our lives. And then we move to the next step, which is prayer. See, without prayer, we've talked about it. You guys done a good job of teaching about prayer and the Holy Spirit. Without prayer, we don't stand a chance. You know that.
And what is prayer, you guys? Tell them, what's prayer?
First of all, prayer is conversation with God. It's, you know, we talked about the Our Father, Hail Mary, or reading scriptures, which is all important. But I think the first thing you do is just, Lord, show me how to pray. Teach me to pray. Just like He did the apostles. He taught them the Our Father. Just go into the room, quiet, by yourself. Lord, teach me to pray.
I think the components of prayer are exactly where you begin, Danny. We need to just talk to God the way we would talk to a friend. In addition to that, the church gives us prayers like the rosary. Last night, I got a chance to spend about 15 minutes thinking about the life of Christ in the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary because I prayed the rosary. The Mass, where Jesus is with us, praying for us and giving Himself to us. And then the Bible. I think these are all worked together, the sacraments, the life of prayer. But it all boils down to what the saints have called mental prayer. Are you in conversation with God?
And another thing, Pete, this isn't just a book. This is words. I do this in my life. This is how I lead my life. I think you guys do too. All of us do that. It's not something, oh, this sounds good for a TV show or something like that. No, this is how you do it every day. I don't do this in front of people. I need this. I have to have this in my life.
Danny, does it give you enough? Does it fill you? I think a lot of guys wonder, if I let go of what I had, is this enough? In other words, is God enough? Is God really going to be there? Am I going to end up being bored or lonely or passive? I mean, they look around in church sometimes and look at what guys look like in church. First of all, there's not many guys in church.
Right.
And then a lot of times guys in church look like they're bored to death. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what they say? I don't get anything out of it. Well, you don't put anything into it. How are you going to get out of it?
I didn't become a Christian. I didn't become a committed adult Catholic so that I could be like other Catholic guys. Right. I became a committed Catholic Christian so that I could become like Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a work in progress, and I got a long way to go. But we need to see the men around us not as the model, but as brothers who are shoulder to shoulder with us who need to move in the right direction. We got to recognize that, there are some people that are asleep in the pews. It's our job in a cheerful, energetic way to wake them up by the way we live.
And you talk about the boredom thing. Well, wait a minute. The Lord wants us to have all these fun. He wants us to play golf. He wants us to do all these things, hunting, fishing, and all that stuff. But we're going to give Him 1 hour a week to go to Mass and sit there and do nothing and complain? Yeah, you mean that's a fair deal?
Yeah, look at my watch. Get mad at Father because he talked 5 minutes too long?
If you worked an hour in your renewal ministries or focus, that's all you put in an hour, you would be in bad shape.
I love what image you use, Danny. You think of all that Jesus went through. He left heaven, came down to earth, spent 33 years with us, taught us, lived in poverty, was rejected by people, suffered, died, was crucified, and rose from the dead. So that we would sit quietly for an hour?
To Mass once on Sunday. Yeah. So, which leads us to the other thing.
Crazy.
You really want to get fed? You got to be strong when you work out spiritually. The Eucharist. Jesus suffered, died, buried, rose from the dead, ascended. If we truly believe that that's Jesus Christ, why wouldn't we want to receive Him daily? That's where my power source, we're talking about power source, I'm going to get my power source from the newspaper or news media or something like that. No, my power source is coming from Jesus Christ. He told me that this is my body, this is my blood. Eat it, chew it. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do daily. Yeah. And if I miss it, you guys are daily communicants. Yeah. What do you feel when you miss it?
Yeah, there's a bit of a hole there.
There's a void.
Yeah, because you're living in a relationship. And I can say, really from the bottom of my heart, like you were saying before, Curtis, you know, all of us limp, all of us struggle, all of us stumble. But I tell you what, this life, I would not change for anything. I wouldn't go back to anything I had before. This is the vital way to live. I feel like I'm alive and passionate, and I'm actually living with the Lord in my life. Not because I'm perfect, but because He's so full of love and wants to be with us.
And recognize that God, it brings Him joy. He's a father when He sees His son struggle. I don't mind if my kids fall down. As long as they get back up and go at it some more, it's when they lie down and give up.
Yeah.
That's what kind of bothers me as a dad. Yeah. It's the same way the Father's calling to every single one of us. Get up and try again. I want to help you. It brings me joy.
Yeah.
A great call to action from you guys. We're going to get in shape. You each get the last word on getting in shape, temperance, self-control. Next on Crossing the Goal, we're in the end zone right after this quick timeout. We've made it to the end zone this time on Crossing the Goal. Temperance, getting into shape. And this is the chance where each of these guys gets their last word in. Peter?
Thanks, Brian. I just want to remind the listeners and remind all of us that Christianity means change. The Lord has the power to change us. It wants to produce change in us, but there's just one requirement that He has for us, and that's that we hunger after Him. So let's commit. Commit your heart. Let's commit our hearts again to hungering after the Lord, because the hungry are going to get filled.
Thank you, Peter. This is an important topic. We stand in the line of a rich heritage of great men who've gone before us, dating back to the ancient patriarchs and through all the saints of the New Testament and New Covenant period. And nothing separates you from those men except they said yes in a radical way. And that's my invitation to you today, to recognize as I look at Hebrews 11 and see some of the mighty works of these men who conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained resurrection from the dead, were tortured so that they can endure to a better resurrection. These great men who endured so much for the sake of God are just like you, but they said yes. They were men, the scriptures tell us, of whom the world was not worthy. You were made to be just such a man.
All right, Curtis. My coaching point for you this week, guys, is for the next 30 days, what I want you to do is sell your heart out to the Lord and ask Him to change you inwardly. He will reward you. And if not, within 30 days, we'll give you your misery back.
Thanks, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck. I'm Brian Patrick. Thanks for joining us on Crossing the Goal. Until next time, dare to be great, men. We're made for it.